it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Stream your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long, starting at just $30 for your first year. That's like $250 a month. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. The Steelers and Seahawks, Sunday, 1 p.m. Acrisure Stadium. That game on television will be on Fox. Adam Amin and Mark Sanchez, I believe, the pairing for that one. So a bit low on the pecking order for Seattle and Pittsburgh, and certainly not the national footprint that the opener against the Jets had. Fan Hotline, that's presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We go back out to that Fan Hotline, and that is where we find the great Ray Fittipaldo, who is brought to you by the Western PA Injury Attorneys of LGKG, serving as your home team for over 90 years. Ray, the Steelers' defense has been a point of discussion this week. Terrell Austin spoke yesterday. He said, oh, you're going to have a few stinkers here and there, but they've had more than a few in the last two seasons. And in fact, Pony had this stat yesterday. In their last 9 games, if you include week 1, if you include the playoff game, they've given up something like 27 points per game. That's pretty unacceptable from a defense with this price tag.
Yeah, absolutely. And with all these expectations too, and I know the price tag is certainly something that comes along with that, but yeah, people didn't want to hear that, especially since the last time we saw this football team, they got gouged by the Baltimore Ravens, embarrassed on national television. You know, I was at the game, but I heard all about Kirk Herbstreit questioning the effort of the football team. Now, you know, Terrell Austin said that wasn't the issue in New York. He said when he walked off the field in Baltimore, he felt like he was physically dominated, or his unit was physically dominated. He didn't feel that way. And if you guys listened to Cam Hayward yesterday too, there was a lot of talk about not being in the right gap. You know, maybe they weren't schematically sound. So maybe if they clean that up this week against the Seahawks, it'll be better. But Donnie, I don't care if it's 299, 182, whatever. 100 yards on the ground used to be the standard for the Pittsburgh Steelers, and they've given up 100-yard rushings in 10 of their last 20 games. So they're far away from their standard.
Yeah, and I know that we have heard, well, Mike Tomlin, he said they could be a historic defense. He put that out there to raise the expectation and put pressure on them. The fact is, he still said it, and those words are going to look funny if the defense continues down this path. That 2008 defense, which was a historic defense, they gave up, what, like one game where a team had more than 100 yards, or there was like one rusher that had more than 100 yards over the course of the whole season, and it came in a blowout win. So it happened mostly in garbage time. That is the standard this defense should try to have.
Yeah, I mean, that 2008 defense, legitimately, you know, whether you talk about it in Pittsburgh or nationally, I think that's a consensus top five, or if not top five, top 10 defense of all time in the NFL. So, you know, I was trying to think back, you know, if this does turn out to be a bad quote on Mike, like what were some of the other questionable quotes from Mike Tomlin over the years? Donnie, I always go back to 2017, where I think they were playing like a Sunday night game against NBC, and he told Tony Dungy, basically, it's going to be us and the Patriots in the AFC Championship game. Then what? 2 or 3 weeks later, they go out and you know, they lose to Jacksonville in the divisional round. So that was a bad one for Mike. Hopefully the Steelers can get this turned around and, you know, he doesn't have egg on his face like he did back then. But yeah, after 1 week, it's not looking like it was one of the smartest things that Mike ever said.
Do you think Terrell Austin will be on some sort of hot seat if we get to the end of the season and the defense is, let's just say, middle of the pack? Like, okay, they turn the ball over a good bit. You know, maybe they sack the quarterback, but otherwise it's a pretty mediocre unit.
Well, I mean, it would depend on what their record would be. Listen, if they get a bunch of turnovers and they're 11-6, it's probably not going to be a lot of pressure on Austin or Mike Tomlin. But, yeah, listen, if they're middle of the pack and they're 9-8 and they miss the playoffs, then, yeah, you know, they go out and get Jalen Ramsey. They make some big moves in the offseason. They secure T.J. Watt for the long term. Yeah, I think in that scenario, yes, I think he would be on the hot seat. But let's see what happens. You know, week ones in the NFL can sometimes be tricky. You know, there's a lot of guesswork that goes involved, especially when you have new head coaches and different coordinators. Arthur Smith talked about that a little bit yesterday. It just took the Steelers a while to kind of figure out what was going on in that game. So, you know, the Seahawks have a little bit more of a resume there. McDonald has been there for more than a year now. So maybe week two and beyond will be a little bit different for the Steelers defense.
Are you concerned at all by the tape put out there by Keanu Benton last week?
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't good. You know, the coaches, both Mike Tomlin and Terrell Austin, want to pass it off as a, you know, first week thing. He's going to get better. I don't know about you, Donnie. I for a second round pick, Benton has just kind of left me wanting. Like, I expect more from somebody who was basically a top 50 pick, and we just haven't seen it. And I would hate for this to be the case, but the longer this goes on and he's not able to hold up to bigger and stronger guys inside, I just wonder if he's miscast as a nose tackle. I just wonder if it'd be better off being a three technique. Listen, if he's not a starter, maybe he's effective in sub packages. I heard the reasons why yesterday, that they don't want to play YA Black nose just yet. I get it. He's young. He's not going to have the recognition skills that Benton has, but at some point you do have to get bigger and stronger in there. So I do think that's a move that they have in their back pocket, but I don't think we're going to see it this week.
It does sound like, though, according to what Terrell Austin said yesterday, YA Black will play more snaps against Seattle, correct?
Yeah, and they like his length. They think he could play over guards and tackles, and he's got those big, long arms. He could lock out over defenders. I think he has the versatility to be a guy for up and down the line, you know, at some point in his career. But the way Austin explained it yesterday, they don't want to put too much on his plate at this point. They want to kind of have him master one skill first or one position first before they add more to it. But listen, if Benton struggles again, if the run defense struggles again, at some point they're going to have to make a move. YA Black to the nose is the most obvious thing that could help. And I think if it continues on, the way it was against the Jets, they're probably going to have to pull that trigger sooner than they would probably like.
How much should Steelers fans anticipate seeing Jabril Peppers in this game?
After only 5 days, Donnie, I don't get the sense that they're going to rush him in to the lineup at all. He does play special teams, so I could certainly see him getting a hat. I could see him maybe get in for a few plays here or there. But the Steelers are a team that's had some issues with communication in the past, especially in the back end, and I would think they would want to make sure Peppers is up to speed with the defense before they throw him out there into game situations where he would be counted on. So definitely special teams. I think he'll get a hat for that reason. But as long as Chuck Clark is healthy, I'm not sure how much he's going to play in the defense.
Is Joey Porter Jr. going to play?
Well, not a good sign that he didn't practice Wednesday or Thursday. They're out there right now practicing. We'll see if there's any better news. But, you know, soft tissue injury, hard to see him going back out there on Sunday if he hasn't practiced this week.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
The comments from Patrick Queen went a little bit viral after the game on Sunday. Some of the language he used, we unfortunately can't use here on The Fan, but it's obvious those guys know they didn't play well. Do you anticipate a better effort against the Seahawks?
Yeah. I mean, listen, Mike Tomlin said he wants them to be stouter. Terrell Austin talked about getting off blocks. I mean, Donnie, that stuff is just effort. And, you know, I don't know why it happened, especially in week one when you have an entire offseason to think about that performance in Baltimore, but they weren't physical. They didn't play well. They did nothing to that would say that they were the more physical football team in that game. So to me, that's a little bit concerning. You know, you would think they would be out to, you know, avenge what happened in Baltimore, and the fact that they didn't look good from a physicality standpoint is concerning. But again, one game, I'll give them another opportunity or two to turn that around before I really crush them.
We can't talk much more about concerning play, Ray, without talking about Broderick Jones and his week one performance. What's that panic level for you? Somebody who played offensive line at the D1 level, Ray, that the panic level for you when it comes to Broderick Jones?
Yeah, I mean, I'm concerned. I'm not going to lie. Mike said all the right things. They're gonna ride this out for a little while longer. But, you know, to me, Donnie, the fact that his hands are always down at his hips, and it's just so easy for opposing edge rushers to get their hands on his chest. And it's something we've seen for quite some time now. He's never corrected it. You would think that just, you know, coaching or other players on the team telling him what's going on would help, but he doesn't seem to be taking to the coaching for whatever reason. And he also ducks his head. He gets put off balance easily. There's just a slew of issues. I know Trey Essex talked a little bit about it, you know, earlier in the week on your station. And, you know, Trey wasn't sure if he could turn it around. So he's a first-round pick. They're going to give him a few more chances. But after what we saw in New York, I think, you know, the leash might be getting a little bit shorter.
11:21. It's now time to make that call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums at 724-443-5610. Talking to Steelers reporter Ray Fittipaldo from the Post-Gazette. You know him. Ray, do you think there's a fair chance that Jones gets benched over the course of the season?
Yeah. I mean, listen, if he doesn't play well, that's certainly a possibility. And I've had people tell me, well, they don't have any options. Listen, Calvin Anderson's in the NFL. The guy has started 10 games in the NFL. He's played like in 50 or 60 games. These are NFL players. They are capable guys. I know Andrus Pete played left tackle, but that was earlier in his career. I'm not sure you know, if they would want to do that. But that Andrus Pete would be an option too. I think the point is you can only get by for so long on your draft slot. And if you're not putting good tape out there, there are other guys who could step in and perhaps do a better job. And I think sometimes we kind of look at guys like Calvin Anderson or, you know, some other guys who haven't done much in the NFL, but they're in the NFL. And at this point, I think people are starting to question whether they might be a better option than Broderick Jones.
Talking about Calvin Anderson, we go from that Calvin to another. Calvin Austin with a very nice week one performance. Had some tough grabs, had a touchdown in that win over the Jets. A lot of chatter, Ray, about Tyreek Hill, but the Steelers maybe have something here in Calvin Austin the third.
Yeah, I mean, Don, if you look at the way this offense is set up, As long as DK Metcalf stays healthy, I think they could get by with, you know, a combination of Calvin Austin and Jonnu Smith and Pat Freiermuth and Ben Skowronek. You know, what I saw against the New York Jets, 34 points, passing offense was very efficient. It wasn't like they were going for over 300 yards, but, you know, I think Aaron had, like, what, 244, four touchdowns, no picks. I mean, it was really good stuff. So, yeah, for 1 week at least, I think he quieted the talk. I'm not sure, you know, the Tyreek Hill stuff, you know, the domestic violence issue that's come up now. I don't know if the Steelers would want to take that on. But, yeah, Calvin Austin stepped up on Sunday, and he's kind of been he's quietly been progressing in each step, right? He missed his rookie year, did a little bit his second year, actually 550 yards and four touchdowns last year. What Mike Tomlin always says, it's reasonable for these guys to take the next step. And I think Calvin Austin could easily be a guy who goes for 705 touchdowns this year. I think that's easily within his grasp.
Only 10 snaps for Roman Wilson in that first game. Do we see more participation from him in week two, Ray?
Yeah, it depends on how these games go. You know, the Steelers didn't possess the ball a lot against the Jets. So, you know, in a different circumstance, maybe if the time of possession is flipped, then Roman Wilson gets a few more opportunities. The other thing was they were behind for so much that game, Donnie. I think Aaron and Arthur really just wanted to go to the guys that they knew that they trusted, right? Guys who have a little bit more of a resume than Roman Wilson. So, you know, if the Steelers come out and play better early, if the defense plays better early, they have a lead, then, yeah, I think you'll see more of Roman Wilson. And he's a guy who has to, you know, put some stats up first and, you know, make a play or two for Aaron in game situations, I think, before they fully trust him.
Austin, do you care if I do a little free association with our friend Ray?
I would love for that to happen, Donnie. Yes.
Don't worry, Ray. I only have like 3 questions, not 15 set aside. DK Metcalf revenge game. Does he score a touchdown?
He does, I think, yes.
Aaron Rodgers needs 1 touchdown to tie Brett Favre for 4th all time. He needs 2 to pass him. Does he do it?
Yes, he will do it this week.
How many snaps on offense does Caleb Johnson play?
Oh, I'll go 4 this week.
Final score, Ray, and your MVP on Sunday.
Yeah, I'm going to stick with 2017, and I think the Steelers find a way to get DK Metcalf involved against his old team. He was involved last week. He didn't score. I think he's going to score this week.
That's why you're the best. Ray Fittipaldo covers the Steelers for the Post-Gazette. Thank you, Ray.
Thanks, Donnie. See ya.
There we go. Ray Fittipaldo, one of the kindest men in the industry. Join Malzie at Rally House on General Robinson Street, North Shore, from 10 until noon tomorrow. Go get some pit gear before the brawl. Get your black and gold gear for the home opener on Sunday and register for the chance to win $250 in Rally House gift cards. So Ray Fittipaldo, he picks the Steelers to win 20-17 over the Seahawks on Sunday. An old-fashioned push for Ray in that game. The spread for that right now is Steelers -3. We will have fan game day coverage live from Rivers Casino starting at 9 a.m. on Sunday. Myself, Jason Mackey, Mark Cabali. So maybe some wagers will be laid down before kick on Sunday.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, 2-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.